Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, ChurchSafetyGuys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James, and once again, on this cold Midwest Arctic evening, joined by my co-host, Mike.
It is cold and Arctic down here. It feels, I think we're in the 20s right now. So that's pretty bad for down here.
Yeah, today we were actually, I don't think we have gotten much over the single digits. I know, like, I was just telling our guests when we went to church this afternoon around 1 o'clock, it was negative 12. So
yeah, that's pretty bad. We're supposed to get down pretty low tomorrow, not actually break freezing tomorrow from what I heard.
Well, that's good, I guess, to not break freezing.
Well, I think it's going to be below freezing, so I think it's going to not get above freezing.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I gotcha.
So
what exactly, I'm kind of curious, what exactly happens in Texas when the outdoor temperature drops below 30 degrees?
Mass chaos, panic, PTSD, and a little bit of everything. So put it to you this way, the translation is, I come from the Northeast before moving here. So it would be equivalent of a big nor'easter that was coming in with the idea that, okay, we're going to be in for a day or two. And so everybody still freaks out and raids the grocery stores and buys up everything. Well, we had grocery stores that people were just loading up. Lines and lines. I mean, we just did our normal shopping because we're like used to this. And yeah, people were in a panic mode. It's just, it absolutely no rhyme or reason. At best, we're going to have cold for probably 60 hours. And maybe we get some precipitation that gets some icy roads, which they don't have the equipment down here. So it is a bit more immobilizing, but it's like the society has become such a get out of your house mode that they're like freaking out over the idea that they'd have to stay home for more than a day. And I'm like, I work from home. There's times I never leave my house all week. So,
see, now all you had to say was the nor'easter. Cause I, growing up in New England, I know what that's like. And I don't remember, honestly, and maybe I'm dating myself a little bit here, but back in the 90s, I remember whenever a nor'easter came, maybe it was just that my mom always had a cupboard well stocked with like canned goods and, you know, those backup type supplies. But I don't remember the mass chaos of everybody like jumping in their car and saying, I've got to go to the local IGA to pick up groceries because I'm going to be snowed in. I mean, obviously New England, they have the equipment to move stuff better. Sure. Than, I mean, Ohio, sometimes we get caught with crazy, crazy stuff that's unpredictable. This time we have gotten no snow whatsoever, which is really weird. We got a little bit of snow on Halloween, but all of this snow that everybody's complaining about was really rain for us. So it's been raining like straight the last, I don't know, week or so, which is causing flooding issues, but it's just, it is odd not to have, you know, I was talking to John Riley today up in, he's in Grand Rapids, and that's a few hours, four or five hours north of me. And he's said in the last like 3 days, they've gotten like 15 inches of snow.
Wow.
And even just last night, I think he said they got like another 8 inches, and he was like trying to dig out his driveway. But I don't know, are different. Maybe it's a different generation, different society than before. But, you know, I was just kind of like, do we need anything from the store? No, we're good.
Yep.
So
we're in good shape. I mean, in true sense of preparation, I mean, I think around here, we'll spin it back to the church safety and security realm, is certainly talked about our newer building, or new to us building, but really old building, kind of, all right, what are we going to experience around pipes and other sorts of situations, and what happens if power goes out, and all the other pieces that really, again, we've just moved at Christmas Eve. So that was our first service in this new to us building. So a lot of adjustments and things like that. But I really don't think anything's going to happen other than, yeah, there might be some ice on the roads, and yeah, there'll be some accidents, and we may shut down for 24 hours with almost nothing, the ability to do. Who cares? And I will. So I did have to go to a completely different topic. I happen to be having some hot tea because of how cold it is here in Texas. And this is not product placement, and I recognize our guest for the evening. So this $4 mug or $8 or $12 mug is actually not coffee. It is tea. And I'm not saying anything by drinking it.
Fun stuff. Well, if you haven't joined us in a while, or this is your first time, welcome. And we love that you're spending time with us. And as always, if you're listening at a later time on your podcast platform, feel free to click like, subscribe, and share. And or if you're on YouTube watching and listening to us, you're welcome to click like, and that helps us with the algorithms, and also tells you when we have new content, which is typically about once a week. We usually do a broadcast unless we're coming on a holiday, which I guess technically this weekend is a holiday weekend, but I just, with the schedule and lineup, I wanted to get our guest today in, and I'm excited to have him in and talk about his story and testimony, as well as his product placement, because it is product placement. So, and without his product placement, I would probably be less active in sharing my testimony on a regular basis. That's all I'm going to say. My life would be extremely, extremely different. And I'm sure those around me appreciate the fact that, I have a substance such as caffeine to help meter me out as an individual.
Yeah, if I'm addicted to anything, I'll go right there and I'll say it's caffeine for sure.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll bring in our guest for the broadcast, Mr. Steve Morewood. So, hey, Steve, thanks so much again for hanging out with this insanity and for joining us. It's great to have you on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James, Mike. Appreciate it.
Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, hey, and caffeine addiction, it is a real deal. So we do have decaf. I want you to know that. And I can tell you it's the best decaf that many of my customers have ever had. So
there you go.
So for those of you listening that maybe don't want the high test, we have unleaded as well. So I want to just give a quick background history for Steve. So on how I met him. So if you're listening at a later time, or you hear this episode at a later time, you'll know. But I was actually referred to Steve by our guest from last week, Corey Jones. And Corey is the safety director of Grace Covenant Church down in Texas. Mm-hmm. And Corey also has started helping the Church Safety Guys ministry with a lot of stuff behind the scenes, which is awesome and amazing. But I was actually talking to Corey about folks that we could potentially have at our 2024 Church Security Essentials Conference, which is also down in Austin, Texas at Grace Covenant Church.
Right.
So Corey reaches out to me and she's like, hey, she's like, you know what? You need to give this guy, Steve, a call and talk to him. And if it's okay, I think she said I'm going to pass on your number, your information or whatnot. And I'm like, sure, Corey, that's fine. I'm used to random people calling me from her. So the day I'm guessing it was back in September or October, the day that, I called you or you called me, we ended up talking probably for over almost an hour on the phone. Yeah. And I'll tell you, there are some people in my life where if I talk to them on the phone, you just click. And, you know, Mike was one of those people. He called me before he started helping with Church Safety Guys. He called me, we talked, we clicked on the phone. Steve is the same way. You know, we seem to get along great. And then I got the opportunity when we went down to Austin in November and met with Corey and looked at the church and everything. I got a quick second to meet you in person, which was great as well. And
yeah,
you also gave me some of this amazing coffee, which I still have. I'm about to tap into this new bag that you sent me. So, but what I was impressed with is the amazing testimony that you have, that God has worked in your life. And, you know, we talk on the broadcast and with churches, we talk about leadership all the time. And we talk about always training and having that mentality of what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to better yourself? What are you doing to learn more, to be more ministry oriented? And to me, after I heard part of Steve's testimony, one of my thoughts was, you know, this is just an amazing way that God is working in someone else's life and has brought him to the point of really being ministry oriented and serving in his church. And Steve does, for those of you listening, Steve does serve on Grace Covenant's safety team as well, when he's not gallivanting or entrepreneuring or doing other things. So, but to me, it just seemed like a great opportunity for him to share that, because I know that you hearing his story will certainly be blessed, because it's really amazing how being able to step back sometimes and see how God works through others and through those that we come in contact with. So, I will turn it over to you, sir, and I'll let you jump in there and kind of give folks some of the background and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on. It's too late in the evening for me to have any coffee, so this would be what I'm drinking tonight, a little bit of water. So I don't mind your tea thing there, Mike. That's all good. I'm not offended at all. So, I tell you, life is, you know, by the grace of God, there goes I, right? I mean, any one of us at any given time are heartbeat away from being homeless, being in a situation that is not what we ever expected out of life, right? And so that situation kind of happened to me about 5 or 6 years ago, to where I found myself sleeping on couches for the better part of a year, and landed in a RV trailer out on Camp Mabry here in Austin. And it was a time of refining that was quite eye-opening for me. I'm telling you, situations like that for somebody who is a believer forces you into depending on the Lord. And that's what I was doing at that time. I had a job. I was where I was, and I had been a believer for a very long time, because 24 years ago, he showed me exactly who he is. And some of those series of coincidences that you just know aren't coincidences, right? And that happened, and it really kind of solidified my faith, took away the doubt at that time. But it's really in the last 5-6 years to where a lot of the refining has taken place, and I'm just not the same person I was then. We continue to grow. We continue to have this process of sanctification that Christ does through us, and that's what it's been. So jumping around a little bit, I just retired from the Army last year, from the Texas Army National Guard. I was a full-time soldier and retired as a command sergeant major. I was a Special Forces Green Beret, weapons sergeant, and then a medic. And the last 11 years nine years as a sergeant major, I was really kind of sitting behind a desk doing those types of things. Let me jump back a little bit. So back in 89, I was really in a place where I had gone through a divorce and was very, I don't wish a divorce on anybody. And so that was what was taking place. And I was also searching, because I had a lot of doubt about my faith. I'd grown up in the church, but I just didn't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one where that I have today. And through that, but I was searching and I was asking and I was praying and I was really kind of involved in my church and asking for God to show me, to take away this doubt. And through a series of things that took place, I ended up in a Christian bookstore one day, and it was Easter, and it was Maundy Thursday of 1998. And I was just about to get out of the Army for the first time. And I felt moved to buy Bibles for the guys on my Special Forces team. Now, that's one of the things that, you know, it's just kind of out of the ordinary. And I did that. I walked in, and the lady behind the counter, she said, would you like for me to pray over these Bibles for you? And I said, yeah, I sure. I was in uniform, and that was very uncomfortable for me. But I was like, yeah, okay, let's do that.
Sure.
And so she gets on the microphone. She says, hey, we're going to pray over some Bibles. Anybody want to come up here? And about 10 people came up, and I was really uncomfortable at this point. I was like, we're going through this. And so we held hands, and she prayed a beautiful prayer over these Bibles. And at that point, after everybody broke up, this one gentleman came up, and he says, man, I really like what you're doing. I appreciate it. And he gave me his card, and he said, hey, my name is Steve, and I want you to take the card. And if you ever need anything, let me know. And so I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. Nice to meet you, Steve. Put the card in my pocket. It was a card that, you know, generic. It had a line on it. You write your name on there. And it was a Fayetteville firefighter card. The guy was in the Fayetteville Fire Department out in North Carolina. And I didn't think much about it. And about a year later, never had contact with the guy again. I you know, life goes on, and now I'm out of the Army, and I'm working as a paramedic instructor. And I'm also at school at night, and I stay behind class one night. And this lady comes in who's a classmate. She says, hey, I can't drive myself home. Can somebody take me home? And I said, yeah, I can. I will. So got in the car, and we drove about 45 minutes, and we had this beautiful conversation about our faith. And it was wonderful. Now I'm more involved in the church. I still have doubt, but I'm like very, you know, I'm reading the Bible a little bit. I'm praying more. You know, my faith is stronger, but I still have doubt. And we pull up to her house, and this trailer, and she says, "Hey, you want to come in and meet my husband?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And so it's late at night. I come in there and come to find out that, you know, he was, their kids were smoking marijuana. It was just a bad situation. But they were both believers. They both had Crohn's disease. There was just things going on. Yeah. And I said, and that's why I was taking her home. She had a bout of Crohn's disease. So it was a bad situation. So, I said, "Well, you guys want to pray?" Cause now I'm a little more in my faith and out there. And we sat down and we prayed and we held hands. And for about 15 minutes, we went around the circle and praying for healing for their Crohn's disease, praying for healing for, you know, their kids who were having these problems. Man, it was amazing, because at that moment there was, you know, there was a presence that I felt, that I just knew was the Lord. Right. It was just wonderful. So got up and I said, "Hey, I really appreciate it. Got to go." And got up and he gets up and he goes to the fireplace mantle and he pulls this card down and he says, "Man, I really appreciate you bringing my wife home. If you ever need anything, you let me know." And he gives me this card. This is business card. Hmm. And it's a Fayetteville firefighter card, and it's got a line on it, and it's Steve written on there. And it's the same guy a year prior on Maundy Thursday, which is the night of the Last Supper, that had prayed over the Bibles with me in the bookstore. And I mean, when I realized that this man, this coincidence that took place, that there, you can't calculate that. And on that day, not on 4th of July, we're talking about on the night that Christ, his Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and everything else. And it just blew me away. And I was just like, "God, you are who you say you are." For me, that was the defining moment to where the doubt was taken away. It is my story and it's my testimony and it's my faith. And it's the doubt that he took away from me. My youngest son, he asked me one time, he says, you know, he didn't have his story at that time. And he says, "Well, you know my testimony. I've told that to you." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, that's my story." I said, "You have to ask him to show you who he is, you know. Each one of us has to do that. We have to search and we have to ask and we got to seek. And then he shows us." And that was the situation with that. So if you don't jump in, I'm going to keep talking, and that's not.
Well, I will jump in real quick and then I'll throw it over to Mike. Cause I know we both have had similar situations, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to share with us tonight, Steve, because Mike and I, in our own, you know, and in our paths haven't crossed until recently, but both of us have had similar situations to yours in our lives where we've said, you know what, this is kind of crazy, and too, so crazy that it's, you know, that I can't just label it coincidental. It's providential. It's one of those moments where God is revealing his person. And so what's interesting and just kind of crazy to me is, when I grew up in a Christian home, and I struggled with the same thing for a long time. Like my parents became Christians when I was about 2 or 3. And so, I became a Christian when I was, I think, 5 or 6, in that range. And so growing up, I always thought, well, how can I communicate God's love? Because I don't have a crazy story that he redeemed me from, you know, from a crazy or bad situation. I'm just me. Like, I've always been around the Bible. I've always been around, yeah, you know, Sunday school and that sort of thing. And what was amazing to me is through my life, it wasn't until I was later, you know, and in my early 20s that I really realized that, you know, every story has a purpose and God uses everything. So it doesn't matter if it's, you know, if you have a crazy, gory redemption story or just a simple plain redemption story, you have a story. And there can be times when you're placed or put in a position to share that to help someone else. And that's what I started seeing, where it was situations where God was using the things that happened in my life to connect with others and to help them understand him better. And I was just kind of blown away from that perspective. But I'll throw it over to Mike and let him chime in there.
Yeah, it's what an amazing story, Steve squared, I guess, in this story specifically, Steve. So amazing in that sense. But you're absolutely right, that opportunity to kind of ask God to reveal himself in not our timetable, but his timetable. Sure. And I think the you sit there, and similar to James, grew up in the church, started as in the Catholic Church, moved to a non-denominational church, pulled really my entire family in that direction after. But that was really a God-led thing. I felt continually kind of a stirring, if you will, where God was moving me to move in a certain direction. And while it wasn't always necessarily crystal clear, in other words, it wasn't like a neon sign out front, hey, take this exit here now. A lot of times it was small things. It just felt okay at the right time to do that. And I think and they, over time, I think amplified to the point where it felt like, okay, I'm listening, God. Here I am. Send me. Yes. Where do you want me? And it continued to be part of that kind of overall journey, not just in my life, but physically moving across the country and coming to Austin. That was a God thing. A year earlier, if you had said you'd be in Texas in a year, I would have literally bet my house against you. And I'm not a betting person. That's how sure I was that I was pretty much where I was going to be. And but God had other plans, and he revealed himself in a tremendous way. And for that, we just basically said, okay, we hear this. We believe it's of God, that he's speaking to us and calling us to move. And we stepped out of our comfort zone and moved away from immediate family in following that call. Right. And then from that moment, God, for an entire year, took every day. There was either some reason that was amazing that we moved here to Central Texas, or there was some amazing news story that said, thank God we moved away from where we were. And so every day God just affirmed that choice, that listening, and we'd see it come through in daily stories. So whether it's that business card of Steve or whether it's something else, sometimes there you don't know, it's very silent, it's very quiet, and you don't realize, but it's God. And then other times it's glaring and it's almost hitting you in the face. Yep. So it's just tremendous when he moves like that.
Yeah, we love the times when it's so noticeable. You're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening. Wow, those are great. But it's the stopping and reflecting back. I mean, I look at my life and I'm like, number one, I'm amazed that I'm still alive, based on my whole history. And I think many of us don't ever really realize how protected we've been through life by our Creator, and how our life has kind of gone one place or another. I didn't have a plan for where I was going or what I was doing, and I'm here, and that's I'm grateful for that. So slowing down and being able to take a look at what he's done is what everybody should be able to do and should do. That's when you really realize and become grateful to where you see where he's worked in your life. So people miss that all the time.
Absolutely. You're on mute, James.
I didn't click the button. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we get back, I want to jump in a little bit more into where Steve is now and talk a little bit about his ministry and kind of go from there. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back with you guys.
At Centurion Bible College, we're authentic about relationships. We're passionate on training. We're unapologetically biblical. And as the first college in the United States to design an associate's program in church safety and security, we're innovative. Explore Centurion Bible College and you'll find the tools to be better prepared to support your community and the mission of your church, the culture to help you engage with the people you serve with, and the environment to foster learning and leadership. Discover Centurion Bible College today. Enhance and develop the skills to engage and connect with your community when they need you the most. Be intentional in your community with a ministry mindset, understand concepts of safety and security, and make a difference today. For more information or to enroll, visit centurionbc.org or churchsafetyguys.com.
With over 50 years of experience with religious and nonprofit organizations, Thomas Alexander Insurance and Associates understands that your congregation is different from a traditional business. We're here to fulfill your needs, coming to you while creating a personal plan for your budget and size. From your local community to around the globe, we are advocates for you. Thomas Alexander Insurance and Associates, your partner in service.
The Church Safety Guys help church and place of worship safety and security teams all over North America through our broadcasts, online communities, conferences, trainings, resources, and the all-new Church Security app. Download it today. Help us continue to reach churches by supporting our sponsors, purchasing our resources, and consider becoming a ministry partner by making a monthly or one-time donation. Remember to like, subscribe, and share this broadcast with your team. And now, back to the broadcast.
Okay, so we are back, and we're talking with our guest, Steve Morwood, on this broadcast. And Steve is the owner of Redemption Coffee, and they have generously partnered with us for the 2024 Church Security Essentials Conference in Austin, Texas. And if you're listening before April 2024, please visit our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. You can get more information on the conference there, or you can visit churchsafetyconference.com. And we still certainly have tickets available for that event. And this year, real quick, I'll just throw out that we have a fantastic lineup. We have actually, this conference is actually a 3-day conference. Most of the time it's one day. But Mike and I added a second day. So it's Friday, Saturday. And then one of our other partners to cover, I guess, sponsorship, and one of the other companies that's sponsoring it with us is called KR Training, and they're pretty well known in Texas, but they are actually adding a component on Sunday for folks. So you can actually come into town Friday, Saturday, spend those 2 days with us, and then attend church Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, we actually have some firearm training, which is, again, it's the first time we've added something like this, but we will actually have on, I believe, next week's broadcast, if everything goes well, we'll have Carl with KR Training to kind of talk about that a little bit more. So check out the website. And again, if it's something you or your church is interested in, or you have questions about that, please feel free to reach out. You know, we've got 2 days of, I don't know if we could get any more content in those 2 days. Friday, we've added some new unique stuff and some new training things that Mike and I are doing. And then Saturday is our regular day where we have just encouraging music. We've got special amazing guest speakers. I mean, I could go on and on about it, but it's definitely something you don't want to miss. And we designed it really for any church at any level. So, there's plenty of content. If you don't, if your church is established and you have a fantastic safety team, come be refreshed and encouraged. If you're, you know, kicking the tires and you're trying to figure out, should my church have a safety team? Please, we'd love to be able to talk through that with you. And we certainly have experts from around the globe there. So
I think one of the biggest things that sometimes people have come back in their surveys of what they've loved about the day is our panel discussions. And so we will offer that at the end of the day on Saturday, but also have a opportunity Friday night for kind of a little bit more intimate setting. You get kind of more access, if you will, to the speakers and the vendors, the Friday evening event. So a lot of different things there, but a real chance to kind of network and fellowship with others that are serving in this ministry all over, because we'll have folks both local as well as flying in from different areas. So it's a great chance to really kind of be birds of a feather and flock together with your questions, or submit them and have the panel provide additional context for you. And if you don't do that, you can always reach out to us and we're happy to help.
Absolutely. And you can do that through our website at any time, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And we're happy to connect you with folks that can answer your question if we can't answer it for you. And as always, you can visit us online on our social media platforms with Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or any of the other things going on. And we're happy to help you where we can. So, all right. So we'll jump back in there. So Steve, thanks for hanging out with us and being patient. So you mentioned kind of some of your testimony. And I know that you right now are a busy guy. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about Redemption Coffee and kind of how you came to that point of doing that. And maybe some of your plans for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Redemption 316 Coffee Company is the complete name there. And it's part of an LLC called Redemption Ventures LLC. I created it about 4 years ago as I was looking at exiting the military. It's not something how it actually came about was I found myself having a Friday night that was free. And so I thought I'd stop at a coffee shop and do some studying, pull out my Bible and walked in there and the music wasn't edifying. It was just not a place that I felt comfortable pulling out the Bible and studying. So I got a cup of coffee and left. And as I walked through the threshold of the door, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a place to go where there was Christian music playing, where you felt comfortable and everything else? And this whole idea just popped in. Well, why don't you open a Christian community center with a coffee shop storefront? Wouldn't that solve the problem? Well, how do I get there? And that started with, well, maybe you ought to learn how to roast coffee and start that way. So that's what I started on. I thought, you know, there's a group of guys who formed a coffee company that's quite popular. And I thought, you know, they're doing about $76 million a year. I don't need that much money. You know, it can't be that hard if they're doing it. So I actually turned around and bought, I started doing some research and I bought these really high-end beans from this supplier. And I didn't even have, this is at the time when I'm living in the RV and I didn't have a roaster. I was house sitting for somebody. And so they didn't even have a coffee pot. So they had a convection oven. So I got YouTube, you can learn anything, right? It'll teach you anything. I renovated a whole condo through YouTube videos and was able to actually sell it. So YouTube will teach you anything. And so there's a way to roast your coffee beans in the oven. And I did the research on that and turned around and roasted those beans that night, ground them in a blender. And it was, I did everything wrong. Everything was wrong. I didn't even get to first crack. I mean, so the beans weren't even really done. But I'm telling you, once when I brewed that coffee cup of coffee and I tasted it, I thought, this is the best coffee I've ever had. What have I been drinking up to this point? I mean, it was the beans were, they should be good because they were expensive. And that launched it, right? I said, well, look, if this is that good, I really need to learn. And that launched into buying a small roaster, which turned into buying three more of those, which turned into, those are now in my garage and I've got a bigger roaster now. So, and I continue to buy the best quality beans that I can. And I want to provide people with the best possible coffee that they can drink. And one of the things about it is that in this is about that end goal of really creating a place from one Sunday to the next where people can get out of the world and just go relax, you know, a community center. And so that's the ultimate vision. I'll just say this, that it's kind of a, I don't know how people take it, but you cannot put a cross. Hold that bag up. Would you hold your bag up?
For yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't put a cross on the bag if it's bad coffee. That's I mean, you just can't. That wouldn't be right. So the whole goal is to really create an excellent product and to overtly tell people about Christ within it. This was the other piece, right? And it's something I've struggled with for a long time. Maybe I ought to not have the cross on the bag. Maybe I ought to, you know, it shouldn't be so overtly Christ-centric. I could certainly do something where it was, you know, a secular brand, right? And I would probably have a lot more success with it. But I feel like with the website that I have, with the messaging on the bag, I don't know who's going to be impacted by that. You never know who God's going to bring to that website, and they're going to read the gospel on there on one of those pages. Sure. And they're going to see something that is going to impact them. And so I've stuck with that for the last 3.5-4 years and have not gotten away from that messaging. And it's sheerly because it's my way of sharing the gospel with people with a bigger goal of helping people through proceeds and profits of the company when that happens. So yeah, that's pretty much it. It's great coffee. I would love for people to try it. Whether you're a caffeine drinker or not, I got a little bit of both. So, and I'm excited about the conference that we've got, and I'm excited to be able to provide the coffee there and to really kind of be a part of that. So it's a cool thing. So,
it's a blessing. And I thought it was pretty awesome. I love how you are looking to not only just have like a community center, but also share the gospel and help people and connect with others and just not necessarily, I know a lot of organizations out there mean well and do a lot with handouts, but you're looking at it from the aspect of, which is one of the other things that I love, which is, you know, how can we help people long term? Like, how do we get people from where they are to being better and not just, you know, a temporary kind of fix? Yeah. But what was interesting to me is when we first started talking, we have looked for a long time. Mike usually says about 3 years. Yep. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
For us to partner with someone and I, you know, I drink a lot of coffee every day. And so I'm always looking at, okay, what is this company selling? What's their product like? That sort of thing. And, kind of started doing a little bit of research not too long ago and really was a little bit bothered by the quality standards of K-Cups and some of the folks that, are name brands in your grocery store. I was like, you know, this just doesn't taste like fresh coffee to me. And Steve, when I went down to Austin, Steve actually gave me quite a bit of coffee to try. And we were talking about potentially doing a Church Safety Guys blend with him and kind of partnering with him on that. And so when I get home, one of the bags had actually of coffee because of the air pressure change in the plane. One of them had broken. And oh, so really? my entire luggage smelled like coffee. And I was like, well, where I store luggage in our house is in my office. Right. So now my office is like constantly smelling like coffee, but yeah, which is not a bad thing. Now what's interesting is we're back in, actually starting next week, we're back in the office 3 days a week. And so, I'm just about ready to talk to my boss about investing in an office coffee pot. So I may be reaching out to you and saying, hey, can we do a large order? But yeah, the quality to me, I was impressed with the quality, and you certainly can't beat the fact that Steve does it himself and also is a small business owner and trying to do that. But I love the fact that, you know, I don't have to question, you know, and when we support a product with the Church Safety Guys, we do a lot of research and go to the nth degree because we want to make sure that company is representing a good value, not only to individuals, but also of Christ. And just like you said, like putting a cross on it means a lot. Yeah. And so, for us, I'm happy and I'm ecstatic that we've found a company that we can do that we can say, hey, this is a fantastic product. You know, you're a veteran owned small business, and, you know, we can, as a church based ministry, we can support that as well. So definitely, yeah, definitely check it out if you're listening and you're a coffee drinker.
I think that whole ministry element, I think, is big. And Steve, that the bigger objective and where you were going and want to go with this, and amazing to just kind of break it down and what is that need. I think we see that even whether it's in our job as church safety or even with Church Safety Guys, we look at, okay, well, when we got a lot of this started, it was really what we saw out there is a lot of churches that some had teams, many did not have teams, but a lot was too emphasized potentially on active shooter. And we know active shooter to be, yes, a risk, but a very small risk in the grand scheme of things. And yet that tended to be where the oxygen in the room was going. Right. And we felt like it was not being a ministry, it was bouncers for Jesus, and you ended up having a different culture, and you had teams that were burning out, and you had strife between the teams and the pastors, and churches that didn't want the teams anymore because they ended up being a team of no instead of a team of yes, but safer. And so we saw a lot of that going, and I think it's just a matter of that having that bigger goal, breaking it down and saying, how do we get there? So I really love the bigger goal. And to James' point, as we were searching and looking for folks that were in that coffee space, it the same way that we talked about the signs before when God reveals himself in a powerful way, mm-hmm. we just never felt a warm feeling with anybody we ever talked to. Like, you know what? There was always an opportunity. We had a couple different times. We could have done a deal. We could have done something and checked that box and moved on. But it never felt right. And it wasn't just the quality of the coffee, to James' point. It was really the quality of the individuals and who are we potentially partnering with, and what does that say about Church Safety Guys by partnering with them? Is that right. something that's going to lift us up or tear us down? And we always want to make sure that those that we associate with are going to be part of the ministry first, the focus on God's mm-hmm. kingdom first and not necessarily of the world. So many times it just didn't feel right. And so clearly that was, I believe it's God that held us out there and saying, okay, yes, I know you guys want to do this, but there's a better way, there's a better time, and he revealed himself in that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, the conversations we had were really comfortable, and it felt good and felt right, and it was just kind of really cool to for me as a business owner, you know. And this is, I have a full-time job that I do during the week, right? I'm retired from the Army, but I've got a full-time job. And then this coffee business is my passion, to try and build it into something that replaces that and allows us to go bigger and broader doing different things and to help other people in bad situations. The whole commerce aspect of it, with social media, with everything else, to be a small business owner is really, really difficult. It's hard to get established, started, and going. And it's not as if I've done that before. It's by trial and error. I just know that I have a really good product and it's been working. And I continually have people coming back saying, I love your coffee. That's the best thing I could ever have, right? But then it's the conversations that I get to have with people who are, whether they're believers or not, who have an opportunity to try this coffee and they see the messaging. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know what happens within them on that aspect, but some of the conversations I've gotten into have been just so cool to have in the process of this. And those are affirming moments when it's like, yeah, you need to keep doing this. And you need to keep going forward. Ultimately, you know, I started out this with a story of my own personal brief homelessness, right? It gave me a passion for people who are on the streets. And by no means is it a cookie cutter deal where everybody's situation is the same and each sure. every person right. is going to miraculously come off the streets. That's not what it's about, right? It doesn't work that way. And I do not pretend by any stretch of imagination to understand the complete gamut of what homelessness is about. I would be foolish to say I did, but I have a passion for people who are struggling and on the streets. And that's the bigger goal of this, to be able to start helping people, and already doing that through, we've got something called Mission Possible in Austin, in East Austin. And so some of the proceeds from the company turns around and goes to Mission Possible every month. And they focus in on bringing people out of poverty, one family at a time. And I think that's a big key, right? One person at a time, one family at a time. And I would just say this, that as believers, as people in the church, if everybody in the church were to turn around and focus on one person that is in a situation and took ownership of them, in the sense that, and it may not be a great match and it may never get better, but man, if a person takes, if just one, every one of us took ownership of somebody out there, whether that was providing them with meals on occasion or doing something for them that was helping, I think our situation would be a lot better with homelessness. Most of us struggle just trying to make it through our own lives, right? And make ends meet and make things work. So that's a real hard thing for most people to do. Anyway, the goal is to just help people in that, right?
That's it's awesome.
God calls us to do that, and I think often that can be, as you said, Steve, in our own lives, we're busy, we're focused, we're distracted, we're this, we're that. We can come up with every excuse in the book to not do something like that, to not help somebody. But whether that's to your point, whether we try to look for opportunities where, you know what, there's a job loss, there's a death in the family. So whether that's a meal train or just a meal, or hey, can we watch your kids for a little bit while you go to this the counseling session, or you go to the doctors and you get that taken care of and you don't have to pay for that sitter. Any number of those things, it's those small things. But I think even more so is that seeing every human through God's eyes, and that regardless of their situation in this side of heaven, if they're still all God's children. And I think that's the difference of being called to look at them through God's eyes, not our own.
Yeah, and there's a point that, you know, with regards to what church safety guys do and what church security does as a whole. Oftentimes, we can very easily get focused in on hypervigilance within our church in safety and have suspicion for every single person that doesn't look right coming in, right? And we're missing the bigger picture of the ministry. We're missing the bigger picture of there's Absolutely. Something behind that person that we need to get to know. Why is he or she setting off bells in our minds about this person may be a threat to us, right? And all it takes is, and I know you guys have dealt with this quite a bit in many, many different topics and everything, but it really is just a matter of having compassion for people. You can have hypervigilance, but loving and having compassion for people is incredibly important within the role of church security. And you had Corey on last week, phenomenal person who is leading our group. And she gets it because she's the first to go and approach somebody when the spidey senses are
tingling.
and she's the first to go and introduce herself. And it's great. I love seeing that. And it has been something that within the context of our church, she's a blessing to us. And we have gotten, I don't know. It's pretty cool to, it's just really cool. So we're excited to have you guys at church, at our church. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to people trying the coffee. I'm looking forward to all of that. So
yeah, it's amazing. I'm really looking forward to it, honestly. And I know Texas is Texas and everything is bigger and better in Texas, but I will say that, you know, I love you guys down there and, in Austin and in, with Grace Covenant, you know, your hospitality is unmatched and, the family atmosphere. I mean, I'm looking forward to coming in April. And it's not because of being at the conference. Literally in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, when I get to go down there, I get to hang out with Steve and Mike and Corey and
friends.
Yeah. Well, friends are family, really. I mean, that's what's awesome. And that's what's special. And really that's having a community open up to serve and connect with other churches and offer that. Yeah. To folks that are serving in ministry and give them that opportunity is pretty awesome. So I'm blessed that I get the opportunity to actually do that and hang out with y'all and help churches. That's fun.
Steve, you kind of summarized, like I always tend to, as we are running out of time, I'm always tend to be one of those ones to make sure we tie it all back together and bring it all to a close. Yeah, I couldn't have put it better as you did. And that calling and the safety and security and sometimes that extra grace required that we have to have for those folks that may be entering our doors. But sometimes flip that around. Sometimes that extra grace required is for ourselves. And we hold ourselves to a standard and we beat ourselves up over something that was done or said or this or that. And sometimes we have to give ourselves that grace versus just giving it to others. So amazing what that looks like when we have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to go out there and greet people and say hello and not just respond with the eyes or sit there and try to think about why they shouldn't be there and instead think about why they should.
That's right.
For sure. So wrapping up real quick, Steve, if you could just tell folks your website and give them that information and how they can maybe reach you on social media if they want to connect or pick up some coffee.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm new at social media. I had a fast from that for about 18 months, but I've been back on for about 6 weeks, and it's just, I'm thinking about hitting the off button again, but I'm not. So in this business, you got to do that. So you can find me on Facebook at Redemption Coffee. The website to go and check out and order coffee is redemptioncoffee.com. And actually that's going to take you to codewordcoffee.com. So doing some transition from the original website to redemptioncoffee.com. That is the, that's the domain that I own. And so please go there. I would ask that you go to Facebook, like that Redemption Coffee, sure. Instagram at, nope, that's not right. Instagram is Redemption Coffee. I think I'm not on there much. YouTube. My mascot is Gabe, who drinks my coffee. He's got a lot of energy. At R316CC is the YouTube channel. So, and then
I like Gabe a lot. He's pretty cute. He's pretty ambitious too.
He is. He can almost get over that fence. I'm telling you, my neighbor's very concerned about that. And I'm like,
So if you get a chance, visit Steve's page on Facebook, and he always posts videos, and I always get a good chuckle because he posts videos of his dog chasing squirrels and trying to jump over his backyard fence. And the fence is losing, I think.
It is losing. But, well, I'd say, Steve, thank you for your years of military service. We appreciate absolutely. Certainly any veteran from that perspective. If we didn't say it up front, thank you for obviously your support of making the conference certainly possible, as well as everything you're doing to kind of reach people through the coffee, through the labels, through the conversations, even showing here tonight, coming on the show. We appreciate that time. Appreciate the chance to meet you. Look forward to more here in the future, since you're in my backyard doing even more with Corey and the team and so forth. So really excited about where that's going. I thank God for revealing himself through you, Steve, and through your mission, and being a part of the show here tonight.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate y'all's time.
All right. Take care. All right. So real quick, just wrapping up again, thanks for hanging out with us. If you'd like, you're welcome to visit our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And there's a ton of resources on there, information about upcoming conferences, resources that we have available. Or if you're working with your team and you need something that we can help with, please feel free to reach out to us through that way, through social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all of those again as well. So for information about the upcoming conference, which is April in Austin, Texas at Grace Covenant Church, that website is churchsafetyconference.com. And you can go on there and see information about the topics we're covering and going over, the speakers that we have coming, and definitely get some more information and really tickets for your church on that as well. So looking forward to talking to you all next week. And I hope that you all have a great and blessed week. So take care. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
I know.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.